Okay, so today is Sunday, July 11th, 2021. Okay, and we're going to continue on here as the rest of the saints come in. Make sure you have a notepad ready, your highlighter, and your pen. Okay, and we'll be beginning here in the book of Philippians. Okay, we completed the reading there of the letter of the Apostle Paul to the Ephesians, and now we're jumping in here to the Philippians. Okay, as he's addressing the condition of the church, he's also bringing to the attention regarding the stewardship and the priesthood and the responsibility of those in Philippi to the stewardship. And he calls them bondmen. So here, the Apostle Paul is identifying in himself and Timotheus and regarding the position of their calling, not for the purpose of dominion over their faith, but as the Apostle Paul brings out, but are helpers of their joy. It's the same thing we're doing today. Not that we have dominion over your faith. We're not issuing judgments in regarding your personal life, other than that which would be harmful to the body of Christ. Now, the apostles only addressed those things which were harmful to the body of Christ. But as concerning your rate of growth, that's measured to you through your level one dreams, which the Lord has provided for you, through this measure of grace, the Lord has provided for you so that you have a point of reflection for your progression. It's like you're taking notes, of your progression, like if you're in a science class, and you're doing or performing certain experiments in your science class, like your biology class. You begin to write down concerning the utensils that are being used, the time element involved, and the progress, from the first day until it's completed. Well, your level one dreams also have a marked time of progress as the Spirit of the Lord begins to show you the things that were, the things that are, and the things that shall be. We see this unfolded even in the book of Revelations. As concerning the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come. So we see a connection there regarding the plan of God in your personal life and also in the divine pattern. So here he says in verse 1, now everyone should be there now. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, the servant is a bondman. We are slaves to the altar, or we do altar service. All of us do altar service. We're all bondmen to Christ, so we all do altar services. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, hide the word Jesus Christ there, because we're understanding is concerning the reciprocation. We're receiving something from him for reciprocation. We're the servants of Jesus Christ and are receiving to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are giving. So this letter is written to those that understood the responsibility of their Christian priesthood. It's not written to those outside of the covenant, but those outside the covenant take ownership of it, as Satan also took ownership of the knowledge when he was tempting Jesus. When he was tempting Jesus, he confronted him in regarding scriptural interpretation, because he said it is written. He said it is written. He says, well, the Bible says. Satan is not afraid to quote scriptures. He's not afraid to quote the scripture because he's applying it to his aspiration. But when the scripture is put within the voice of the anointing, it strikes fear in the heart of the hypocrite. As we see when Jesus wrote on the ground. They all, one by one, from the eldest to the least, began to walk away in shame, because they quoted a law which was correct, but it wasn't correct in regarding the anointing. They used the law against the anointed one, and the anointed one was superior. The spirit is superior to the flesh, as the witness is superior to the record. So highlight the word Christ Jesus there, because we're talking about the divine priesthood. We're servants of Jesus Christ, so we see the stewardship as presenting this pattern, for the reciprocation of all the saints, and those which are appointed to oversee this progress within the assembly, in this dimension of the waters, which are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons. So you can highlight the word bishop and deacons. The elders which are assisting this process is also those, the elders which serve those in need. With the bishops and the deacons. We're functioning by this divine pattern today. By the mercy of God, this has been restored to us through the stewardship, so that now Yea, we have a unity that is not feigned, and a oneness that is not deceitful. But those which would try to sow mischief, okay, and walk in contrariness, okay, and the hypocrite, they will be circumcised from this tree, so that the tree can remain sanctified and holy unto the Lord, as we see also represented, okay, within the ancient times, okay, when the tabernacle was constructed, how God began to circumcise. It began with the priesthood. Okay, it began with the priesthood with Aaron's firstborn there. Okay, as Nadab and Abihu were circumcised for those which were second to stand in their place, which we can see Jesus stood in that fulfillment. Okay, that which was first was consumed by the fire, which was presented secondly. Okay, by which Jesus' priesthood, okay, would be sustained forever. Okay, so grace be unto you, he says here. Let's look at that verse 2. Say, grace to you and peace. I like the word grace and peace, because the illumination of this knowledge, it also gives power to bonding. Okay, the illumination of this knowledge gives power to this bonding. Okay, and this is to bond your faith to him. By bonding our faith to him, we're removing the contradiction. Our circumcision is being completed. Okay, we're removing the contradiction for this unity of service. And it goes on here, from God our Father. So he's identifying the source of our parent, the salt charity. Okay, he's governing our destiny. Okay, from the bosom, he's governing our destiny. Even as the Father guided the Son. Jesus made mention of that, for the Father is greater than I, which has to do with the witness of the Father and the record of Jesus Christ. Jesus provided a record for us in the flesh, so that we, being also in the flesh, can fulfill those deeds by the anointing of our Father, which we acknowledge is greater than we are. And at the same time, Jesus says, I and my Father are one, which means we exist within this conscience. Okay, we exist within this conscience of one. And we can see that though the names can identify separate works, but we see in the book of Revelation that which was a separate work would now be completed in one person. Okay, and his name shall be one, as the prophets bring out. Grace be unto you and peace. We can see how our Father assists us within this transition of the work of regeneration, or else we have fallen to a state of madness and confusion. We'll be talking more about that, okay, when we get to the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel. So grace be unto you and peace. He's assisting us through the illumination. We're laboring, okay, with a token of transition. Okay, we're laboring with it so that through our labor, okay, we're adjusting to the temperature of our growth. Just like when you are taking a dive in a pool. You take a dive in a pool, okay, and suddenly, at first, it's kind of a shock to the body, okay, but then you acclimate to the temperature, to where it becomes very comfortable. So the peace of God rules in your heart. Okay, you acclimate to the temperature of the cycles of your growth. Through each cycle of loss and gain. Okay, you have to go through loss in order to make gain. So as you die to the aspiration, as the Bible brings out, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. So the Apostle Paul is identifying that this crucifixion is not a physical thing. Okay, but we can identify, okay, that the crucifixion has to do with the dying of the aspiration of the flesh, which is in the law. Okay, the aspiration of the flesh is in the law, because the law is provides a boasting. Okay, the law provides a boasting. And as Paul brings out, where's boasting then? Okay, if the works be of the flesh, there is boasting. But if they be of the spirit, boasting is lost. Okay, even Abraham understood that. Okay, if Abraham achieved the goals of the revelations God gave to him on self-achievement, okay, and by self-works, then there's boasting. But that he didn't do. Okay, by yielding to the grace of God, he progressed. Okay, by yielding to the grace of God, he progressed. All he did was work with the Spirit. All right, he did not project outcome for his confidence. Okay, if he projected outcome for his confidence, then he'd be wrestling with his logic. Okay, and when you wrestle with your logic, okay, you're denying the full effect of this grace. Okay, when you're wrestling with your logic, then you're denying the full effects of this grace. Now the Pharisees were wrestling with their logic. They couldn't understand why is it that God elected a man called John the Baptist, okay, the son of Elizabeth and Zechariah, why God would elect this particular individual separate from the temple? Why is this man out standing in the river? Okay, why isn't he standing in the temple? Okay, and affirming our good works, okay, and acknowledging the things which we're doing, acknowledging Moses. Okay, and because John was elected of God in a strange manner, the strange work, in a strange act, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the scribes and the religious leaders, could not wrestle with this manifestation and the progress of their logic. So what did John say to them? Who has warned you to flee the wrath to come? The wrath to come. He called them scorpions. Okay? He called them scorpions because, okay, the knowledge which they were sharing was poisonous. And everyone they came in contact with, they poisoned. They injured. They paralyzed. They poisoned. Okay, everyone they came in contact with. Because they were turning people away from John's baptism. Okay, which is a prelude to accepting the true Messiah. As we see today. Okay, those of the false religious system as scorpions and serpents. Okay, the knowledge that you're speaking is a bite of poison. Okay, to keep those which come in contact with them, okay, in a state of spiritual sickness, to paralyze, comatose. Okay, to keep them in that state, okay, until their soul is removed from them and taken into hell. So that's what Satan's ministers do. They're called ministers of unrighteousness. See, servants of error. Okay, the knowledge which they share, okay, is to paralyze faith, to put people in doubt, double-mindedness, okay, and sedition against the government of God. Okay, the apostles of the first century, okay, and encountered this contradiction, as also we do in the 21st century, encounter the contradiction. Okay, but if you're drinking of the wrong cup, okay, you will become paralyzed. Okay, and when you become paralyzed, you're immobilized. When you're immobilized, you're fruitless to God. Okay, in other words, you're like a paper plate. After you use it, you don't put it in the dishwasher. You throw it away. And the same thing. Okay, after its usage within this dimension, your vessel, being a vessel of dishonor, okay, is cast away, cast into the fire, and is burned. So here we can see the grace of God is assisting us as we put on peace. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. When the peace of God is ruling in your hearts, okay, you can see that the anointing is assisting you. The anointing is assisting you. So as from God the Father, he's parenting us through this form of transition, contact. Okay, he's our contact point through the anointing. So grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. He's the master that's mediating between these, he's the veil between these two kingdoms. Between fire and water, between light and darkness, because this dimension itself is located in the lowest of the heavens, and it's the darkest of the heavens. Okay, and it's crowned with a prince of darkness, okay, who rules over the minds of the ignorant, keeping them fruitless, separated from the kingdom of God, okay, and opposers to the light of his righteousness. So he says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, he's our Lord, okay, through the process which he's anointed and sanctified regarding the stewardship and the priesthood, okay, which he ordained today, acknowledging this pattern beginning from John's baptism unto his ascension, must one be a witness with us, ordained a witness with us. And we are ordained as witnesses and followers of Jesus Christ. Because we accepted this divine pattern Jesus established in himself, beginning from John's baptism unto his ascension. Okay, we are partakers of this power, though we're in the forms of the flesh, because he's purified our conscience by faith in Jesus Christ. That makes us the light of the world and the salt of the earth. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, Paul says here. This is my joy. My joy is the completion. Okay, the completion that you are experiencing from this throne of fire. And this throne of fire is what I reflect. I reflect this and I see this in the services of your charity. I see the flames of the throne of this fire, okay, and reflected within your services of charity. Okay, and we're going to see more about this when we go to the Gospel of John now. So make sure you put your marker here because we'll be jumping back. And we're going to go over to the Gospel of John. Okay, John chapter 12. Okay, in John chapter 12. Okay, we'll be starting in verse 23, John 12, 23, and we'll be going from 23 all the way to verse 36. So, and Jesus answered them saying this. Okay, now Jesus is going to give us some insight into the Abrahamic clock. Okay, we're also on the Abrahamic clock. Okay, the Abrahamic clock for Israel is 100 years. Okay, but we're on the Abrahamic clock, or the Enochian clock of the second eighth week. Okay, on the Abrahamic clock of the 100 years. The 100 years are about to be expired, as also the Enochian clock, okay, is about ready to expire, okay, into the seventh week. So we can see that after 2 days, he will revive us. And the third day, he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight, okay, as the prophet said. So Jesus is talking about the one-hour Abrahamic clock. He's not talking about 30 minutes on your watch. So Jesus answered them saying this, the hour has come. He's talking about the Abrahamic clock. Okay, this time of event being not 60 minutes. It wasn't 60 minutes that Jesus told, from the time Jesus told him that to the time he was on the cross, the time he rose from the dead. Okay, that wasn't 60 minutes. We know that. Okay, so he's talking about the Abrahamic clock. You read about that in Apocalypse of Abraham. Okay, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. So I have the word glorified there. Because we're talking about glorified, we talk about that which has been received and confirmed. Received and confirmed of the Father. Okay, to progress, to glorify means to progress from one point to a greater one as one will become impregnated. When you become impregnated, okay, you go from one glory to another glory, from glory to glory. So the glorified, the Son of Man should be glorified, he's going from the point of lowness to the point of greatness. As Joseph went from a servant to the throne. He'd be second to Pharaoh. Okay, as we can also see, okay, within the life of David. From a shepherd to a king. Okay, so that was setting a pattern for us. From lowness to greatness. From flesh to flame. And Jesus went from flesh to flame, okay, right in front of his apostles when he ascended into heaven. Okay, so he was establishing a pattern for us. Okay, when we're raptured, we go from flesh to flame. Okay, when we enter into the other dimensions, the domains of other dimensions, through the gates of the heavens, we go from flesh to flame, from lowness to greatness. The brightness of our presence becomes brighter and brighter and brighter. Okay, from the first heaven, second heaven, third heaven, all the way up through the seventh heaven, the gates of the seventh heaven. And having given the password, which is the white stone, the work of this brightness intensifies equal to our Father. Okay, so here Jesus is saying the same thing, that the Son of Man should be glorified, okay, to the brightness of the Father, that which he had with him before the creation of the world, and that which we bear witness to, our own eyes will see these things. Okay, this will be the experience of all consenters. All consenters will experience this. Okay, we will be witnesses of the gloriousness of our Lord. Okay, then he says here, okay, right after Jesus said this, verily, verily, I say unto you. Okay, so take note, he says. Take notice and learn. Verily, verily, I say unto you, these conditions must change for the species of creation to extend beyond the present parent. Okay, and this is what he's talking about, a corn of wheat. It's going to extend beyond its present parent. We're going to expand the caverns of our Father, okay, in the womb of the holy city, New Jerusalem, okay, from the chambers of our mansions, which would be also be the seat of our throne, okay, which has to do with the pillars which are in the house of our Father is in representation of our authority, and also identifies us with his house forever and ever and ever. Except, for verily I verily say unto you, except the corn of wheat. Remember, he's talking about glorified. Glorified, we just talked about that. Okay, except the corn of wheat, he says, like a seed. Okay, he's talking about a corn of wheat, he's talking about also a species. We are the species of the divine offspring. And what he's inserted within us by this engrafting of the Holy Ghost, okay, is only a preparational stage, okay, for the greater things. which he has assigned for us. Okay, treasures. That the treasures of the chambers of our Father are as deep, okay, as the ocean's floor. Okay, in some places over 5 miles. Okay, where we're talking about mysteries which are yet to be unfolded, okay, which are beyond our imagination, as the Apostle Paul even says, "Eye has not seen nor ear heard." Okay, but yet these treasures are drawn upon. Okay, with every when our Father draws, okay, from the depths of his heart and pours out for us this dew of knowledge. Okay, he pours this dew of knowledge out for us. Okay, we're partaking of, okay, of those deep things. We're partaking those deep things. We're tasting of the things to come. Okay, so except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, okay, it has to go through the due process of suffering loss for the gain. It only abides alone. Jesus is identifying the state of the Father. He right now is abiding alone. But this plan is for our Father to extend himself, expand his own soul, okay, beyond the boundaries, okay, by the labor of his children. That's us. Heirs of God and joint heirs of Christ. He's assigned these titles to us. As royal priesthood. Okay, but if it die, that means, okay, it must go through this, its design to survive. It has to go through this design to survive. It has to be released, okay, to be joined to the egg. Okay, and once it's joined to the egg, okay, it goes through the due process. Okay, it's going to come out from the womb of its the female, okay, and begin a process all over again, okay, but in greater ways. Okay, this is the symbolism which our Father has initiated so that we can identify with him. Okay, a joining and a separation. Okay, a joining and a separation to be joined again. As Eve was created from the rib of Adam and then brought to him again. And though she was silent in her lips, the stewardship identified her as a one of himself. Okay, she should be called woman. This is one that is of myself to assist me and expand to expand my family, to expand my name. And we will extend the name of our Father in all dimensions by the design of our own imagination. Okay, our Father has provided this gift for us. Okay, we own this imagination. Okay, and we freely give this imagination back to our Father, okay, with increase. Okay, this is a precious gift. Okay, no other creation possesses this gift, okay, of the imagination, which also works with the conscience. The animal kingdom does not possess it, okay, because they cannot extend themselves beyond their own design of their own species. But we can, okay, by this engrafting of the Holy Ghost. Okay, that which he's provided for us, okay, is a down payment of things to come, of the promise that will be fulfilled. This is the goal. Okay, so verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. It must go through this design to survive. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. So hide the word much fruit there. So hide the word much fruit, draw a line for the word much fruit to word glorified. Much fruit, which means it's going beyond, okay, its present borders. It's going beyond its, okay, its present person. Okay, as a seed of an apple tree. The seed of an apple tree, okay, going through the process of growth through its seasons, okay, is now due, okay, to lose, but to also gain. It's going to, when it loses, it gains. Okay, when it drops its seed, okay, it's propagating itself. Okay, so it labors to multiply, and we labor to multiply. Okay, we're fellow laborers of Christ. We're laboring with the Holy Ghost to extend the house of our Father. We show our love to him by our cooperation. Okay, every kiss, okay, that we give to our Father is a gift. It's called a kiss of charity. Okay, we kiss him through our priesthood. Okay, all the elements which he's provided for us, okay, is for the embracing of our Father. You can read about that in the book of Hermas. Okay, when the nine virtues, okay, which is the nine virtues which were the women, okay, the women, okay, who were assigned these particular names of faith and consistency, Okay, and charity and hope and patience. Okay, the fruits of the Spirit, nine fruits of the Spirit there. Okay, these nine women represented that. And when the Master walked among them, okay, the women immediately ran, embraced, and kissed him. Okay, and Hermas was observing this. Okay, and it was rather unusual that our Lord, okay, would allow, you know, these creatures, which are powers, would kiss him. And we kiss him through every token, okay, he's provided for us as children of God. We are the offspring of faith. In relation, okay, to the holy city, we are as the bride, okay, adorned with the light of her righteousness. Okay, the robe is pure white linen, okay, is the righteousness of the saints. Okay, pure, without wrinkle, without spot, no aspiration, no principle. Okay, no principle, only faith and charity. Okay, but if it died, it brings forth much fruit. And he that loves his life, which I just explained here, embraces. Okay, he that embraces the aspiration, even when he embraces his own record, that's the lie. Okay, the falsehood is one owns aspiration. The hypocrite, okay, is one that's true to themselves. We're not a hypocrite because we're true to Christ. We're true to the first original design, the true and faithful one. That's why he's called true and faithful. He's the original design. He's consistent. Okay, and regarding unfolding this plan for us, the mystery is unfolded through himself. So he that loves his life shall lose it. He that embraces the lie of his own record shall fall and fail to achieve its glory, and he won't multiply. He remains single. He remains independent of the Godhead. Singleness here bears the aspiration and the aspirational traps for those alone. Therefore, what Jesus is saying, therefore be joined to me to become one and escape these traps of time. Okay, that is the traps of this dimension. The restrictions of sin are unlocked only by the anointing, which is the key. The restrictions of sin are locked, okay, by the anointing, which is the key. So he that loves his life shall lose it, and he that hates his life in this world, which has to do with sin, okay, shall keep it unto life eternal, which is the anointing. Okay, it is unlocking, because we're no longer in that kingdom of darkness. We're children of light and children of the day. We're not children of the night, nor of drunkenness, as the Apostle Paul brings out. We're not drunken with the wine of aspiration, okay, but we are filled with the wine of his inspiration. We're drinking all of it. Our cup overflows. Okay, and when it overflows, it has to do with the stewardship and the priesthood, as Psalms brings out, Psalms 23. Now, if any man serve me, I like the word serve there in verse 26, that means accepts my stewardship. If any man serves me, which means to accept his stewardship. And that is relevant to today. Okay, when the stewardship is embraced, the healing begins. But as the stewardship is denied, okay, then the chief shepherd of our soul, okay, will not have any healing ointment for you, as Chief Elder Peter brings out. Now, if any man serve me, let him follow me. That means you have to begin building with him. If any man serve me and accepts my stewardship, then you also have to begin building. Okay, as Jesus is bringing this in relation to Moses, as you did with Moses' stewardship. You did it with Moses' stewardship, and you were delivered from Pharaoh. You did it with David's stewardship, and you were delivered from the Philistines. Now do it with my stewardship, Jesus is saying, and be delivered from the kingdom of sin. And therefore he will have no part, okay, or any entrance within you. So if any man serve me, let him follow me. Okay, where I am, there we go again. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. Well, where is that? That has to do in the house of light. The house of this covenant is the house of light. So if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall my servant be. See, because as the children of Israel entered the promised land, they entered the land by the stewardship of Joshua. And there they began to take root, and there it began to multiply and to grow. Okay, they began to multiply in this field of the covenant. The field. But where was the ark found? Where was the ark settled? Okay, where David stopped. Okay, David was halted, and there he built an altar. Okay, in the field of Arnon, in that field, which became also the same area of construction, the temple. So where the angel of the Lord was standing with a sword drawn in his hand, okay, ready to smite the walls and bring down the walls of the city. Okay? And people were dying. Okay? And the stewardship stood as the mediator. And he gave an offering of money for the oxen and for the wood. I give my oxen to you, and I give my cart for wood. There he built an altar and offered. Okay, and there the plague was stayed. The plague was stayed through the stewardship of David. And there being stayed, okay, the children of Israel had 40 years of peace, okay, under the stewardship of Solomon. Okay, the reason why 40 years was assigned to Solomon was to show that all those that accept the stewardship and work within the priesthood will have peace with God. Now, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. You see the progression of that? Okay, that means in my temple. Okay, if any man as a priest in my temple shall serve me, okay, as also Aaron did serve Moses in his temple. Okay, and he says here, him will my Father honor. How does our Father honor us? He crowns us with gifts, titles, honor, power, and glory. Okay, we can see the same language and reciprocation through the lips of the Apostle John, Chief Elder John there, in the book of Revelation. Glory, honor, power, thanksgiving, okay, be unto the Lord our God and unto the Lamb. Now is my soul troubled. I highlight the word troubled there. Now, how could God's soul be troubled? Now, you think about that. How could God's soul be troubled? Well, let's see here. Okay, that means for this transition of the season. Jesus is saying this. For the transition of this season, I'm feeling the powers. I'm feeling the powers of this contradiction. And I'm observing this in the imagination of you Adamites. He can see that they were troubled and he was troubled. Okay, he was troubled by their trouble. Now, the word troubled here also means a change of venue. I'm with you, but I'm going to be taken from you. Well, where are you going to go? Okay, are you going to die? Okay, and so he says here, what we're saying, the word trouble here is a change of venue. The church is going through a change of venue. Even the second and eighth week is going through a change of venue. Okay, it's different now after over 40 years than from its beginning. Okay, which has to do with more, it was just more of an informative, okay, direction for the church. Okay, which now is getting to the point, okay, as concerning the responsibility of all that information. Okay, is now laid upon all the elders. So it's different now. The venue is changing. So a change of venue causes the soul to hurt. Now, this doesn't mean doubt is ruling the mind. It doesn't mean doubt is ruling the mind. Even Abraham laughed upon the tidings of God. And Sarah also laughed upon the tidings of God. Okay, but that wasn't an expression of doubt, okay, for the trouble. Okay, it was rather, okay, that which had to do with the soul was now being challenged of a change of venue. Okay, the barren womb was going to bear a son. Okay, and Abraham being 100 years old, okay, was going to be called the father of nations. Incredible. Okay, incredible. So our Father elects tokens for transition, okay, to confound the wicked and the carnal-minded, okay, but also to honor and to delight the righteous. For the righteous who will rejoice, okay, within these transitions, okay, and these appointments, which our Father, okay, assigns to those that love him. For my children are for signs and wonders, saith the Lord. Okay, and we are the children of Abraham by faith in Jesus Christ. So the anointing upon you, okay, is a sign and a wonder to those which are outside. They don't understand. Okay, they may not perceive. But that doesn't negate the anointing upon you. Okay, because if they didn't recognize the anointing upon the anointed one, the Messiah, okay, they will not recognize the anointing upon the sons of God. They will not recognize it. Okay, but they will stand in contradiction against it. Okay? Well, let's go on here. My soul troubled. Hide the word trouble there, because we just defined that and discussed that. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Okay, as he's observing the imagination of the Adamites, the apostles. Father, save me from this hour. There's the word hour again. Are we going to stop the Abrahamic clock because of the confusion that might be present within my disciples? No. Remember, they hid themselves, and they actually started to wonder if perhaps they were following an illusion. or a person that was taking drugs or something. Okay, was Jesus really taking drugs? Okay, some kind of thing that he thought that he all these things up? No, he didn't. Okay, no, he didn't do that. But the apostles awaited. Okay, they could not draw conclusions. Okay, based upon the revelation. Okay, and this is why the Lord gave partial revelation to Peter, only to be completed when he would follow through in obedience. Okay, only be completed when he followed through obedience. You cannot project conclusions, so that you can wrestle this into your logic. Because once you do that, you now spoiled your faith and you dishonored your father. Okay, so now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour, he says. Okay, but this was determined in my father's bosom for my presence here to fulfill, bringing the challenge of change for your discernment. What you saw transpire with my father's bosom between the consenters and the protesters, between grace and the glitter. Jesus is bringing to their attention, that which was unfolded in that other dimension, but then concealed within the conscience, only to be awakened, by the presence of his grace. Okay, Jesus is now bringing this to their attention. Don't you remember I promised you that? And now I'm telling you here now. I am fulfilling that promise. There came a voice. For this cause I came to this hour. Now a voice came. Okay, the witness from the crystal sea. The witness of the crystal sea is our parent. The voice of the crystal sea is our parent. The voice of our father. So the voice of the crystal sea being our parent, being our father, Jesus said, Father, glorify your name. There's the word glorify again. See, why have the word glorify? Because what are you saying? Now initiate this. Okay, as a parent, initiate this now beyond its present restriction. And I'm going to be the door. I'm going to be the door that's going to, and the key to open this door for those that believe my testimony and those that accept the yoke of my record. Those that express charity through the priesthood, which I'm now going to give them after the order of Melchizedek. So there came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it or glorified again. I'm going to highlight that too. Okay, get your highlighter. Highlight the word, I have both glorified it or glorified again. Okay, I glorified it into my bosom and I glorified again here as the Alpha and Omega. It will be completed in your words. It be completed by your name. It be completed in my Father's bosom. From the bosom to the bosom. All of us came out from the Father and came into this world. Again, we shall leave the world and return to our Father. We will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and have all things weighed. Okay? To the righteous, it'll be the rewards of his glory. But to the wicked, they'll be rewarded their shame because their souls are naked. It's void of fruit. Their mansions are empty. Okay? They have no furniture in their mansion. Okay? They have no treasures in their mansion. Okay? So therefore, the field... The fields that were assigned to them, now will be given to the kinsmen, and we are the kinsmen, see? The field which was given to them is now denied them. They have died in their sins, but it's given to the consenters. Okay? So those which bear much fruit will receive the greater rewards. Okay? Even as that which passed on from Ruth to Naomi. Okay, in the book of Ruth. Okay, the kinsmen was joined to Ruth, and the child was given to Naomi. So those, the protesters, denying this plan, denying this covenant, and that which was given to them by our father is now going to be given back to us. We consented. So he that sows more shall get to receive the more. All right, let's move on here. Father, glorify your name. Verse 28, then came there a voice from heaven saying, I both glorified it and glorified it again. The increase, I'm going to increase its size. I'm going to increase its value. It will be increased in my Father's bosom in the holy city, New Jerusalem. The people, therefore, that were stunned by this voice, the people, therefore, that stood by, they listened to the sky noise of this phenomena, and that took the Lord to unfold what it meant, as it also took Samuel to interpret. The stewardship interprets the phenomena. The people had their opinions but it's the stewardship that has, you see, the say, the final say of it. So the people therefore stood by and heard it. They said and said this. Well, and that it thundered. There's just a noise in the sky. But others said, when an angel spoke to him, okay, as Samuel also challenged the people about selecting a king. This was a confirmation concerning the people selecting a king. This voice came from heaven because of the King of Kings. This king has been selected to rule over you. Okay, so God confirmed the king, okay, by the phenomena of the voice in the sky. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. The voice was confirming the king, as also the prophet and seer Samuel said. This voice came, okay, in regarding to this time. Okay, even though you have sinned against him, okay, yet God has consented and has forgiven you your sin. Okay, and Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, because he was well aware of this process. The witness is already in him, see? But it came for their sake, for their discernment. Said that you desired a king, which I am. And now is the judgment of this world. I'm king. I'm going to judge this world. Okay, as this grain of wheat is to be crucified, and as I rise from the dead, I'm going to call a new people to myself, a circumcision, not made with hands, a baptism that's not of this dimension. Okay, a communion that exists beyond the borders of one's table, and its feasts, okay, are put within me, that your festivities, okay, will be not recognition of the sun and the moon, but rather in the Son of God. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. The shadow of your conscience will now be removed, that there no longer will the defiled conscience struggle with sin under the law. Okay, those that with a defiled conscience use the law as their scale of approval, whether to accuse or excuse themselves. But those which are under the anointing are free from the law. Being free from the law under the anointing, okay, are now free to serve him apart from the law, okay, which the law brings restriction and death. Now the prince of this world is cast out. Okay, but Satan, of course, is now still in the heavens. He's there right now. Okay, somebody says, now the prince of the world cast out, which means it begins when the state of the conscience will be concluded, okay, as we see in the book of Revelation, when Michael the archangel, okay, cast Satan out of the first heaven, him and his angels, the 13 demons, okay, and all those of in his orb, we cast out of the first heaven, okay, will be then taken up the forms of the flesh in this dimension. And finally, cast out in the lake of fire. So that's why the Lord is going to create a new heavens, a new earth, because this one has been contaminated, and only it was temporal for this plan. It's going to be removed and replaced with that which is the eternal plan, new heavens, new earth, where dwells righteousness, as Chief Elder Peter saw and wrote about. Now, if I be lifted up from the earth, okay, not only on the cross, but in the resurrection and in this knowledge, I will draw all men unto me, as I promised. That's what he promised in the Father's bosom. This is what he fulfilled in this dimension as the Son of God. As I promised all souls in my Father's bosom before the world began. So if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. Now this he said, signifying what death he should die, to reestablish Adam's innocence, which the law cannot do. Now the people then said, would you please interpret the scripture for us? The people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abides forever. What do you think? And how say you? The Son of Man must be lifted up. What do you mean by this? Crucified. Who is the Son of Man? Of course, remember, God is manifest in the flesh. And Jesus said to them, yet a little while is a light with you, speaking of himself. The light of what? The anointing and of the stewardship. Okay, the anointing of the stewardship is your refuge, is this present time. But I'm going to go away, and I'm going to put the light of my refuge upon those whom I call, the apostles. You must believe on me to what they tell you to do. A little while is light with you. Walk where you have the light. He says, be in rhythm. Be mobilized with me. Okay, which we see a word of knowledge of congruence. Okay, congruence here. Okay, in cooperation with me. Walk where you have the light, lest the darkness come upon you. That means, lest Satan's shadow now distracts you, and he rules the evil conscience, lest the darkness come upon you. For he that walks in darkness, which means agree with man, and wisdom of the world, and the wisdom of man, he will embrace the wrong tokens. We can see this in a false religious system. Those that follow the false stewards also embrace the wrong tokens. For he that walks in darkness knows not where he goes, because he has condemned himself. He cannot tell the different seasons. As long as you stand in Satan's shadow, you don't know what season it is. You can see the witness of this, okay, in religious magazines. Those which contribute to the religious magazines continually are striving to try to understand what God is doing. They say it is, they say it shall be. They're trying to relive the past by trying to get God to conform to the imagination. It won't work. While you have light, believe in the light. That means as long as my anointing is here, I want you to reciprocate my words, confirming my refuge. That's what Jesus is saying here. While you have the light, believe in the light. You must reciprocate the knowledge of this refuge, that you may be the children of light, the very seed, okay, and also the children of light, my covering priesthood. Okay, by my covering, my priesthood, and your refuge. Now these things spoke Jesus and departed, and he didn't hide himself from them, maybe as a high priest. Okay, so Jesus now faded behind the veil as a high priest would in the Holy of Holies. The knowledge which he was speaking right there, okay, was evident and pressing upon their conscience. But once he departed, their minds again became darkened. You notice this. When you share the faith of this covenant with people online, Facebook or Twitter, okay, or even in person, at the time of that illumination, you can see when the grace of God is present that they're agreeing with you. But once your presence leaves, okay, the darkness then begins to come over them again, and they fall right back into their bad habits of thinking. They're using their logic again. Then they draw conclusions, okay, that, well, it must not be of God. So here, let's go back now to Philippians, okay, about the stewardship. His stewardship now is extended, extended by the apostles to the Gentiles. The calling is extended, okay, as we see in Philippians. Okay, we're going back to Philippians again. Okay, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, for which my stewardship, okay, a petition, sets the path for your experiences of his gifts. Same thing today. Happened 2,000 years ago, and it's happening right here. You're right. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. That is, knowing that the expected outcome will be Christ. My prayers for you, okay, stand within that expected outcome of Christ in you. Okay, not as concerning my aspiration, okay, but rather the harmony, the unity, the mobility for your fellowship in the gospel. From the first day until now, verse 5, making requests for joy in all things, by which, of course, we share and exchange the substance. Okay, since you entered the covenant up to this very time, and to show this consistency in the midst of great contradictions, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, when a contradiction existed, being confident. We exist in a dimension of contradiction. We were not created for this contradiction. We were created by God, for God, in his image and in his likeness. But our Father, in his great wisdom, and for unfolding in this plan, put us in this dimension of contradiction for discernment, okay, and provided tokens of contradiction in the law, okay, in order to magnify and to increase the guilt, so that we will not trust in ourselves, but in him who was raised from the dead, being confident of this very thing, my trust being increased for you in this. That's what he's saying. Being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you, okay, the Lord having put you into this process of regeneration, as the Alpha and Omega, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it. He will see this through to gain the expected end result by his many gifts as the Omega. Has he begun as the Alpha, he will complete it in the Omega, from the bosom to the bosom. Being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now let's jump over to 1 Samuel. Okay, so we're going to go from here to 1 Samuel. And we're going to read just a little quicker here. Okay, 1 Samuel. We're in chapter 19. We're going to be starting in verse 18. So David fled. And just take some notes. Okay, and this is being recorded. So take some notes. Okay, and then you can go back and reread these things. So David fled, which means he took prudent thought now, as Jacob took prudent thought about leaving Laban. So David fled and escaped and came to Samuel, to the refuge and steward who confirmed him, to Ramah. Okay, this is for confirmations and report on Saul. Okay, and told him all that Saul had done to him as concerning his open humiliation and rejection. Okay, this wasn't panning out the way he thought it would at first. So he's going to Samuel, the seer and steward, okay, and asking him and regarding further confirmation. Okay, he killed the lion, he killed the bear, he killed the giant, he had great victories and defeated the Philistines. He provided all the tokens, okay, of dowry to marry Saul's daughter, Michal. And he went, and Samuel went and dwelt at Naoth. Okay, this was a safe house they had. Samuel already knew that Saul was bent on certain revenge. So Samuel took forethought to have a safe house. And he went to the safe house. And it was told Saul, saying, "Behold, David is in Naoth and Ramah," okay, with Samuel the seer. Now Saul sent messengers, which is his own personal police force, to take and arrest David. And now when they saw the company of the prophets, when they attended Samuel's Bible study, and saw Samuel's students prophesying, okay, Samuel just got finished teaching, and all his students, the prophets, were now confirming the knowledge that Samuel shared. And the company of prophets prophesying, and Samuel standing as appointed over them, the Spirit of God. See, the Spirit of God, that's the anointing. The anointing was upon Samuel, was now in the mouths of the prophets. The same thing is going to happen here in a few minutes. Okay, upon your sacrifices of charity. Was upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. In other words, they were, at this point, they were now confirming David's calling as being the next king. Confirming the calling of, not only confirming the record of Moses, but also affirming the statutes, the judgments, the law, and the next king. Now, and it went, now this phenomena was now heard of by Saul. And it was told Saul, and he sent other messengers to affirm these things. Okay, and they prophesied likewise. They were actually encouraging David now. Okay, and Saul sent, and now Saul was frustrated with these things, and he sent messengers again the third time, and they prophesied again. For Saul's police couldn't proceed to arrest David. The angel of the Holy Ghost restricted their efforts. This also happened when Jesus' enemies came to arrest him in a garden. Three times they said, "We came here to arrest Jesus," and what did Jesus say? "I am he." When he said, "I am he," immediately they were pressed to the ground. Three times it happened, and it happened three times here. This was regarding the king of King David, the king to be, and it was also regarding the King of Kings, the king to be. Okay, then he went also to Ramah and came to a great well, the large well. It was a great large well, just like the woman at the well. He came to this well. Okay, it was as a sign. The sign of Rebekah was there. Okay, as a sign of here at the well of Sakku. Okay, and coming to that, we're going to see another event unfold. As a woman at the well, when Jesus said, "I that speak unto you am he," I'm the Messiah that all your religious leaders and theologians were talking about. Now, and Saul asked and said, "Where is Samuel and David?" And one said, "Behold, they be at Naoth and Ramah." Okay, now Saul, at this point, thinking that all this was just to trick him, now, Saul went there to Naoth and Ramah, and the Spirit of God came upon him also. And he went and prophesied until he came to Naoth, okay, the town, which was a town in the country there, and Naoth and Ramah. For God put a veil of light upon Samuel, and the angel refused Saul's attendance. Now, at this point, upon this revelation, Saul began to remove his royal robes, okay, because he is no longer to wear those royal robes. Only the anointed one was worthy to wear the royal robes. And he stripped himself of his clothes. Okay. And this was also to reveal his own hypocrisy. And he prophesied, being prostrated before Samuel. In like manner, he was unable to move. He lay down just in his underclothing all day and all that night. Wherefore they said, "Is Saul attending Samuel's Bible studies now? Is Saul also among the prophets?" In other words, is he registered in Samuel's school too? Now you can see that this, through the process of this contact, okay, that David became also encouraged. Can you imagine that? He was encouraged, okay, through the prophets, okay, through the lips of those that even opposed him. And when you read certain articles put out by these religious magazines, you can be encouraged. God continually confirms the true woman. not the false woman, okay, of the church. She had no head, but the true woman of the church, which is the stewardship. Okay, now let's go to the book of Isaiah quickly. And this is Isaiah chapter 35. And then we're just going to have time just to read a few things here. Now, chapter 35 of Isaiah. This is the place where God reversed the curse from stones and thorns to a fertile land, okay, flowing with brooks. Okay, and Isaiah is seeing this in a vision. The wilderness and solitary place should be glad for them, the righteous. After the purging takes place, the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. The Antichrist is going to take ownership of this verse when he seeks to turn the deserts into flowing orchards, which God will curse, and the wine vats will overflow and turn the blood, okay, even up to the horses' bridles. Over 500 miles, okay, right now, is this barren rock, thorns and briars. The Antichrist is going to take and turn it into fruitful fields, and he's going to claim this verse for himself. So the verses he's claiming, he's taking ownership of, is for the purpose of deception, even as Satan used the verses of the Bible for his deception. It shall blossom and abundantly rejoice. It possesses many, in other words, many pleasurable things, many fruits will come forth out of it. The bosom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. The beauty of Christ will be seen, not in the false, but in the true. Okay, when the Lord physically comes back and establishes a new earth, from the scorched earth to the new or to the millennial reign, okay, and then after that, the 10th week. And then at this point, strengthen you the weak hands. Okay, give grace, receive benefits that releases us from physical labor. Strengthen you the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees, as Paul brings out in Hebrews 12. For the knowledge of God is our staff, which we lean upon for our stability. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong. Okay, you can take confidence in the dreams and the revelations and experiences which you're receiving. Okay, you're sowing seed, which is in the good soil. Okay, so he says, be strong, fear not. I mean, be strong in grace. Don't withdraw into your fear of error, not allowing your logic to overflow. Be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance against the darkness, even God with recompense, and he will come and save you. That's from the snares of derision, which the wicked sow. That is to enslave your soul to false powers. Then the eyes of the blind shall be open, as it is today, and the ears of deaf shall be unstopped, hearing this grace. Then shall a lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For in the wilderness shall the waters break out, and the streams of the desert. See, God reverses the curse. The anointing in you reverses the curse, so that now you bear the mark of Christ. The parched ground shall become a pool. The barren womb will desire your seed. Okay, and the barren ground shall become a pool, and thirsty land is a soul, springs of water, and the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. Places with a stink of iniquity, spoiled the water, will now be purified with his grace. You can see the parallels with that. Now let's jump back here. Okay, back to Philippians, we get ready to close, because the anointing reverses the curse into a blessing, as Jesus turned the water into wine. Okay, now in Philippians, closing, even as meat for me, he says, even as meet for me to think this of you all. He said, worthy here. You are worthy of this reward until the day of Jesus Christ. He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, the time that he visits you. Okay, this is the expected outcome. Even as meet now, at this present time, as well in eternity, even as meet for me to think this of you all. Okay, and regarding, now the nakedness has been clothed in righteousness. Okay, our nakedness has been clothed in righteousness, even as meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. These are the petitions which I'm offering for you. That's what Paul's saying. And this is what this stewardship is offering for you, that you're in my prayers daily. Not just once, okay, and not just twice, sometimes even three and four times a day. Okay, as the Spirit Lord, even as the Spirit Lord, it brings your name to my attention here. Okay, inasmuch as both of my bonds, the stewardship, Okay, both in my bonds and defense and confirmation of the gospel. See the word confirmation there? Because we're confident in his confirmation as David was confident in the confirmations. See, David's confidence grew, okay, which each group was trying to oppose him. Okay, as the prophets prophesied. Okay, there was confirmation there regarding his position, okay, and also when he will enter, okay, and to be king. But he had to wait over 10 years, okay, for this to manifest. So let's read here verse 7 again. Even it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart and my petitions. As we see up there, as I pray for you, always in every prayer of mine for you, verse 4. Because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both my bonds, as a stewardship of the altar, of his altar, okay, fire charity, or your charity is seasoned with salt of this knowledge. Inasmuch as both of my bonds and defense there is your refuge and confirmation, that is a witness of remission, confirmation of the gospel. You, as saints know, you are all partakers of what? My grace. You are all partakers of my grace, this grace of my stewardship.
All those which are listening today, if you like to come in covenant with God, you have to begin to seek God. You're going to have to also put aside the barriers of your former traditions and your mindset. And you're going to have to seek Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay, if you want to come in covenant with God. Okay, well, thank you for listening today. Continue to seek the Lord. His grace will abound towards those that seek Him out of a pure heart. And this is Apostle Eric von Ehrsick here speaking. Have a good day, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.